Good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Bava Basra, daf Kuf Nun Zayin. We left off at the Mishnah on daf Kuf Nun Vav Amud Beis. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and Lili Nishmas, his mother, Golda Bas Simcha, LaShalom, as well as by Daniel Sadin for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Hatzlacha for our soldiers and our captives. They should return home safely. And also by Moshe Kupiatsky, in honor of Rabbi Jonah Kupiatsky's 90th birthday. He should have many more in good health. We thank all of the sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So what we're going to discuss today is, first, the Mishnah is going to have two different machlokas tanaim. First is whether Amira alone works even on a weekday, meaning we had learned yesterday the sheet of Rabbi Lazar that Divrei Shchivma Keksuvenu Kemesurin Dami is not a thing. Rabbi Lazar disagrees with the whole concept. So we're going to have a possibility in the Mishnah that maybe it exists, but depends whether it's Shabbos or a weekday, or maybe it always exists, both on Shabbos and a weekday. And the other machlokas is going to be about whether Zechiyah works for a gadol. Can he be Zach Ladam Shal Befanav for a gadol, or is that only for a katan? And the Gemara is going to discuss which Tana holds which view in those two machlokos in the Mishnah. Then the Mishnah Amud Aleph is going to discuss how do we resolve disputes over money when we don't know who died first, meaning two people were in some sort of accident, some sort of tragedy, and one yarshins the other, but we don't know who died first, we don't know who yarshins who, and it's going to make enough gemina as far as who their money is meshuba to. So how do we resolve such an issue when you have such a suffix? Then the Gemara is going to discuss that we know that there's such a thing called shibud karkaus, that if I borrow money, so all land that I own at that time is meshuba to pay back. If I don't have cash on hand when the malva comes to collect from me, so I'm going to have to property I owned at that time can be collected from, even if I have since sold that property. But what about properties that I did not yet own at the time of the loan, but I owned at some later point? So I borrowed the money on January 1st, and then I bought property on February 1st. I sold the property on March 1st. The loan comes due April 1st. So can they go collect that property that I did not own at the time of the loan? So the Gemara is going to try to bring four rayas, whether one could be mishabed property that's de'ikni, that I will be kona, even though I have not yet been kona that property. And then the Gemara is going to discuss if a person is mishabed future kinyanim to two different people, assuming that that does work, that you can be mishabed future kinyanim, what if I'm mishabed future kinyanim to two different people? Is the first one kona the shibud, or do they split it because it's meshuba to both of them? So let's begin with the Mishnah on the bottom of Kuf Nun Vav Amud Beis. As we said, there are going to be two machlokos in this Mishnah. So machlokos number one is as follows. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, and the Girsa Tosos over here, or Tosos rather, in Amud Aleph points out, is that since, Yanki, if you could just mute yourself, the Girsa is, we had said on Amud Aleph that a Shchivmira requires a kinyan like a Bari, that's Rabbi El-Azhar. And according to Rabbi El-Azhar, even on Shabbos, Amira doesn't work. Amira just simply doesn't work. Whereas over here, we're talking about Rabbi Eliezer. It's a different shita, says Tosos. Meaning we've been working with the assumption of yesterday we had this gevaldik chiddush that there is a shita of Rabbi El-Azhar who says that Divrei Shchivma is not kiksuvin l'kumsurin dami. Our Mishnah introduces an in-between shita, that it depends. Is it a weekday? Is it Shabbos? That is Rabbi Eliezer, not Rabbi El-Azhar. It's a third shita. That is how Tosos learns. Rabbeinu Gershom, however, understands that both yesterday's Mishnah and today's Mishnah are both Rabbi Eliezer. We're going to stick with Tosos' explanation, right? That this is a middle ground shita. So Rabbi Eliezer Omer, b'Shabbos Tvarav Kayamin, that on Shchivmra, who divides his Nechasim, on Shabbos, just by Dibur alone, yeah, that works. That's going to be effective. Because what are you supposed to do? You're not allowed to make a kinyan on Shabbos. And since you're not allowed to make a kinyan on Shabbos, so his words alone are going to have to function as a kinyan. You're not able to write a shtar on Shabbos. So you have to be choshesh that if we're not able to affect that which he wants, we're not able to put into effect that which he desires, it's going to cause a tira fadas, and it's going to cause him to die. So we have to grease the wheels over here. We have to make this a little bit easier to make it happen. Kinyan. So we allow Dvarim to work as a Kinyan, but only on Shabbos. Avalo b'chol, not on a weekday, because on a weekday, if you want to be makna something, make a Kinyan, write a shtar, do something. Right? On a weekday, you always have that option. Whereas Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Rabbi Yeshua says, no, just the opposite. B'Shabbos Amru, if they allow Amira to work on Shabbos, then Kal v'chomer b'chol, then Kal v'chomer it's going to work on a weekday. Meaning, this is similar to the Svara of Kal Roi L'Bila in Bila Makevispo, V'Kol Shein Roi L'Bila, Bila Makevispo. That on a weekday is a day of Kinyanim. It's a day where Kinyanim happen. So therefore, we're not going to be so makbid that you do an actual Kinyan. Amira alone will function in place of a Kinyan. But on Shabbos, where it's not even a day that Kinyanim are possible, it's not even a day that Kinyanim happen, so then we're not going to allow, there's less reason to allow Amira to work. And therefore, if we allow Amira to work on Shabbos, Kal v'chomer you're going to allow it to work during the weekday. So Rabbi Yeshua really holds la halacha, what we've been assuming prior to yesterday's Mishnah, is that divrei shchivmera k'ksuvin k'mesurin dami, that both on Shabbos and a weekday, the words of a shchivmera affect the kinyan. But Rabbi Yeshua is just saying that, and how do I know that? Because if it's going to work on Shabbos, then it must be that it works during the week, not like the chilik that Rabbi Eliezer wanted to say. So that is machlokas number one in the Mishnah. Kayotzebo, there's another machlokas that follows a similar pattern, although it's on an entirely different topic. It has nothing to do with the Shchiv Mira, and that is Zachin LeKatan. Since a Katan is not able to make his own Kinyan, the Chamor Misakein, that another person could be Kona from someone who wants to give a matana to a katan on behalf of the katan. Even if the katan's not there, it's not midaito, it's not befanav, he's not there at all, but vein zachin legadol. But you're not allowed to do, you cannot do zechiyah, you don't have the power to do zechiyah for a gadol, because let the gadol do his own kinyan. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. I mean, the katan has no other option, he can't make a kinyan, so you make a kinyan for him. The gadol has the ability to make a kinyan. Why should you be making his kinyanim for him? Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Rabbi Yeshua says, no, the exact opposite svara. The katan amru, if zechiyah works for a katan, kal v'chomer the gadol, then kal v'chomer is going to work for a gadol. Meaning a gadol is a bar hachi of kinyanim. So if so it's more mistaver that will allow more kinyanim to happen for a gadol. A katan is not even in the category of kinyanim. So if we're going to allow zechiyah to work for a katan, kal v'chomer will work for a gadol who is more in the parsha of kinyanim. Now the very concept of zechiyah is a machlokes rishonim, what it's based on. The shita of Rashi in a few places in Shas and the shita of Tosos, most famous in Ksubas Daf Yud Aleph in the sugya of Ger Katan, is that zechiyah works mitam shlichus. That since it's something that's purely to benefit the other person, and I know that if he were here, he would want me to do this for him, so I can make myself his shliach to do this for him. That's zechiyah midin mitam shlichus. Now the Ktzos writes in Simon Kofei that certainly mikra din, you cannot become a shliach of a person without them appointing you as a shliach. But the according to the shita, the zechiyah mitam shlichus, it's a gzeres hakasuv that you could have a shlichus without a minoy shlichus. Meaning normally shlichus can only happen with a minoy shliach, that you have to be appointed as a shliach. The very chiddush of the pasuk is that that I can become a shliach and skip over the step of a minoy, skip over the step of ever being appointed as a shliach. That is the shita of Rashi and Tosos. However, the Ramban and the Rashba hold that zechiyah is eina mitam shlichus. It is not mitam shlichus, lav mitam shlichus. Rather, there's a gzeres hakasuv called zechiyah. It's its own separate din. Nothing is not patterned after shlichus. It doesn't follow the rules of shlichus. It's its own separate din called zechiyah, that you have the ability to make kinyanim for somebody else if it's for their benefit. So according to our Mishnah, a katan has zechiyah. Now that zechiyah that a katan has, meaning our Mishnah, the whole machlokas was, can you be zocha legadol? Everyone agrees you can be zocha for a katan. Question is, okay, now that I know I can be zocha for a katan, do I say only a katan but not a gadol, or do I say if it's true for a katan, then kal v'chomer for a gadol? But everyone agrees zechiyah works for a katan. So now plugging that back in to zechia mitam shlichus or zechia lav mitam shlichus. So Tosos in Maseches Ksuvos and other Rishonim point out that zechia lekatan must only be midrabanan. That even though there's a gzeres hakasa that zechia works midaraisa, if you hold zechia works through the mechanism of shlichus, ketanim alav bnei shlichus. Ketanim cannot appoint a shliach. So the whole mechanism of zechia for a katan must only be midrabanan. However, the Rabbi Kiveger explains that no, maybe the reason that there's another day in Tosos there in Ksubas Afid Aleph that holds that something that's a zechus gomor, you can have shlichus for a katan, and therefore you can have zechia for a katan. So the Rabbi Kiveger explains that the reason there's no shlichus for a katan is because he doesn't have das to be memana shliach, but zechia mitam shlichus means that the minoy happens by itself. Meaning, why is it that a katan can't have shlichus? Is it that a katan cannot have a shliach, or that we just don't have an ability to appoint a shliach? That normally you need a minoy shlichus, and then once there's a minoy shlichus, the guy becomes your shliach. So is it that a katan is ineligible to have a shliach, or that a katan just simply lacks the capacity to do a minoy shlichus? So if it's that a katan can't have a shliach, so if zechir works midin shlichus, it must be that it doesn't work for a katan on a daraisa level, that it must be the whole thing is drabanan. But if the whole chisaron is that a katan doesn't have the ability to be mimana a shliach, well, that's exactly what Zechia gets around. Zechia tells you don't need a minoy. Zechia means it tells you that the Torah does the minoy shliach. Oh, good. So now the katan can have a shliach mida oraisa because he doesn't need a minoy when it comes to Zechia. So that's how Rabbi Kiveger explains the context of that Tosos. In Ksubas Safir Aleph is about ger katan, that normally you need a kabbalas mitzvahs in order for a person to become a ger. A katan's unable to do the gerus, so the Gemara uses this concept that it's a zechus for the katan, and therefore we can make him a ger. So Tosfos says that darabanan, daraisa, right? Meaning, can we do a zechia for on behalf of a katan, even if it is a zechus for the katan to become Jewish? Are we able to do that on a daraisa level to make zechia for the katan? So that is the discussion of Tosfos in Maseches Ksubas. Okay, so we had two machlokas in our Mishnah. Machlokas number one is, does Amira work for a Shchiv Merah during the week or only on Shabbos? And machlokas number two is, does Zechia work for a Gadol or only for a Katan? So says Mar Masnis and Mani, the way that the Shitos were presented in our Mishnah follows which Tana? Rabbi Yehudi. It follows the way that Rabbi Yehuda presented the respective Shitos of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua. The Tanya, because we have a Brisa that tells us that there were two presentations of these Shitos of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua. There's Rabbi Meir's presentation of it and Rabbi Yehuda's presentation of it. And as we're about to see in this Brisa, our Mishnah conforms to Rabbi Yehuda's presentation of the machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. Titanya Ramei Rome Rabbi Eliezer Omer Bechodvar Kayam Neshiachal Lichtov Avalo Beshabbis. That the way Ramei presented is that Rabbi Eliezer's Shita is that Amira only works on a weekday because you're able to write on a weekday and therefore you could do a shtar, so we allow for more kinyanim. Avalo Beshabbis. But it won't work on Shabbos. That's the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer, that it does not. Not like we said in our Mishnah that everyone agrees it works on Shabbos, all machlokas is only about a weekday. No, that it won't work on Shabbos. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Rabbi Yeshua says, B'chol Amru, Kal V'chomer L'Shabbos. And if it works on a weekday to do Amira, so then Kal V'chomer on Shabbos, where you don't have the ability to do any other kinyan. Kayote bo, Zachon L'Gadol, Vein Zachon L'Katan, Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer holds Zechia only works for a Gadol and not for a Katan, unlike the presentation we had in our Mishnah, where everybody agrees that it works for a katan. Rabbi Yeshua Omer b'gadol Omer kal v'chomer l'katan. And Rabbi Yeshua says, if it works for a gadol, it's got to work for a katan. That's Rabbi Meir's presentation of the machlokas, which does not conform to the way the machlokas was presented in our Mishnah. But Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda presents the machlokas as follows, and this will sound more familiar. That Rabbi Eliezer Omer b'Shabbos tvar v'kayam v'meishen yachal lichtov avalo b'chol. That Amira for a shchiv merah will only work on Shabbos, but not on a weekday. And Rabbi Shua Omer Shabbos Omer Kal V'Chomer B'Chol. And Rabbi Shua says, well, if it works on Shabbos, it's going to work Kal V'Chomer, it's going to work on a weekday as well, where it's more of a day of Kinyanim. Kayotzi Bo, and similar Machloka, Zachon L'Katan Vein Zachon L'Gadol, that Divrei Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Eliezer holds Zechia works for a Katan, just not for a Gadol. Rabbi Shua Omer Kal Katan Amr, Kal V'Chomer L'Gadol. And Rabbi Shua says, well, if it works for a Katan, it's got to work for a Gadol as well. So in that presentation of the Machlokas, that's exactly how we have it in our Mishnah, and therefore our Mishnah must have been authored by Rabbi Yehuda, even though normally Stam Mishnah is a Rameir, our Mishnah must have been authored by Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, so now a new Mishnah. Nafal Abayis Ve'al Aviv. Let's say a house caves in, Rachman al Tzan, terrible accident, Reuven dies, as does Yaakov, his father. So they both die, we don't know which one died first. Oh, a love, V'al Morishav. Or it fell on Reuven. Some of that Reuven was someone else that Reuven could yarshin when they die. His brothers or his uncles that don't have any other closer relatives. His wife, Vaisal of Ksubas Isho Balchov. And Reuven owed money to people. Either he was married and his wife had a Ksuba, or he had some other Balchov that wanted to collect money. But there were Reuven didn't have any Nechasim to pay that which he was Chayiv. So Yarshay Av, Shimon and Levi, Reuven's brothers, who are the children of Yaakov and the brother of Reuven, or for that matter, even Reuven's own children, Chanoch u'Palu, Reuven's own children, who also yarshin Yaakov, Omrim haben meis rishon v'achar kach meis av. They say Reuven died first, and only then Yaakov died. So it turns out Yaakov was not morish anything to Reuven, because Yaakov would have to have died first to be morish anything to Reuven. But Reuven died first, so by the time Yaakov died, all of Yaakov's nechasim bypassed Reuven. Reuven was dead already, so they all go to us. Ubalichov, Armim and the Balichov say, no, Ha'av Meis Rishon, maybe Yaakov died first, so all of his Nechasim went to Reuven, and as soon as Reuven got those Nechasim, they became a Shubut to us, because we're the Balichov, Reuven owes us money. V'acharkach Meis Aben, and only later did Reuven die. So, and even though in that case as well, you, Shimon and Levi, Reuven's brothers, or Chanuch u'Palu, Reuven's children, yes, you yarshin Reuven's Nechasim, but not before our chov gets paid off. Meaning, since Reuven owned these nechasim when he owed us money, so our chov gets paid off first. Beishami omrim yachlokos. So Beishami says, I don't know who died first. So they split the money. It's mamnu mutl b'safek. No, neither is muchzuk in it more than the other one. And therefore they split it. Ubeisil omrim nechasim b'cheskasan. Beisil say, the yorshei ha'av are zocha in all of it, because we keep the Nechasim b'cheskasan, because we know for sure that they yarshin. It's only a suffix whether the Nechasim that they own, that they have a chazaka on, were meshubat to Balichov, and whether the Balichov have the right to collect these Nechasim. So ain't suffix motzim devade or motzim chaver alav haraya. So that's it. So they're allowed to keep those Nechasim. Okay, so Tanan Hasan, we have a Mishnah that later in this Masechta. There's not so much later. We're almost at the end. But at the very end of this Masechta. Hamalvis chaver b'shtar, that if a person lends somebody money with a shtar, they write a shtar on the halva, and therefore all of the nechasim of the lova are meshubah to the malva. And then after the halva, the lova sold all of his nechasim, and therefore there's nothing to collect from. So gavmi nechasim mishbadim, you could still go and collect. Collect from the people who had purchased those properties. Right? This is a fundamental din that we've been over many times in Seder Nezikin, that borrow money with a shtar, whatever properties you own are meshubad to pay that loan, and even if you subsequently sell those properties, he can go to the lekuchos to collect that loan. But al yidei edim, but if there was no shtar, it was just with edim, govim nechasim necharin, then he can only collect from nechasim necharin, he cannot collect from nechasim meshubad, meaning he can only collect from properties that you still have in your possession. He cannot collect from properties that you no longer have in your possession. And the reason we've explained many times is that by shtar, it becomes more widely known, and therefore the lekuchos should have done their research. They should have realized that before they bought any properties, how many shibudim this guy has, how much money this guy owes. But whenever there was not a shtar on the halva'a, there's no way to do the research. It was never documented how much money this guy owes, and therefore in order to protect the lekuchos, we say that you can only collect from the mechor, you cannot collect from that which the lekuchos have purchased. So by Shmuel, diikni vikana mahu. What if at the time that I borrow money, I write in the shtar, not only am I being meshabin myself, to pay back from all the properties that I currently own, but I'm also being meshabed all the properties that I will buy between now and the time that I pay you back. So I'm borrowing the money on January 1st. I buy a property on February 1st. I sell that property on March 1st. You're coming to collect on April 1st. Can you collect from the people that I sold those properties to, properties that I didn't even own at the time of the loan, because I wrote in the shtar, de'ikni, things that I will own? Or do you say that this is a davar shalom b'liolam, and you cannot be mishabed yourself on a davar shalom b'liolam? The many Rishonim hold that even if you don't write de'ikni, it's achrayas tal sofer, meaning what we're really asking over here is how far does shibud in general go? Meaning it's not about if I commit to de'ikni, whether I commit to it or not. We're asking, is that part of shibud? Is shibud nechasim include things that I did not yet buy? And achrayas tal sofer, it would just be included just like any other shibud. The Rashba disagrees. He says, no, even if, most Rishonim assume that it's dafka if you write it, that there's no doubt that if you don't write it, then there's no shibud. The Rashba disagrees. The Rashba writes that if you don't write to ikni, then we assume it's a tohu sofer, and we assume you want it to be mishabed that as well. So, anyways, says Gemara, libet Rabbi Meir damar adam makna davar shalom b'liolam lo tibayilach. That's going to keep coming up. That this whole shaila that we're asking now, and we're going to have to keep that in mind with every raya that we're going to bring, that this whole shaila we're asking now is not a shaila within shitas Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir holds you could be makna something that doesn't yet exist, so of course you could be mishabed that which you do not yet own. So devadei kana, that for sure you could be mishabed nechasim that you do not yet own, because if you're able to be kona things, peros of a dekel that don't even exist yet, so kol shekein when it comes to karka that does exist, you just don't own it yet, so that of course you can be mishabed. Tosas raises the question that we had said back on Daf Ayin Tes, that Rav Meir only says this by Peros Dekel, which are Asuyim Lavel Liolam, which you know are going to be coming, meaning you have a Dekel tree, and it grows Peros every year. That's where you also can be Makan Dovr Shalab Liolam. So what kind of Kal V'chomer is that for our case? In our case, it's not Asui that you're going to buy properties, right? I mean, it's not something that's automatically going to happen that you're going to buy. Granted, this property actually already exists in the world, but it's not in your possession, nor is it Asui L'kach that it will be in your possession. So Tosus writes in Dibra Maskel de Ikni that you have to say that it's dafka legabe a kinyan, that it needs to be asui lavo. But when it comes to a shibud, it's easier to be makna a shibud than to generate a shibud than to create a kinyan. So enochinami, to be kone a davar shaloba liolam, it has to be something that's asui lavo liolam, like peros dekel. But to create a shibud on something that I don't yet own, it doesn't even need to be asur l'kach. It doesn't even need to be something that's going to happen automatically. So anyway, the whole shaila is definitely not a shaila within Shitas Rav Meir. I can for sure say de'ikni and that I'm mishabed properties that I do not yet own at the time of the loan, according to Rav Meir. El kiti bayla chalib d'rabbanan. The whole shaila is according to the sheet of the Rabbanan. Damri ein ha'da makna davar shalob liyolam. That the Rabbanan hold you cannot be makna davar shalob liyolam. Question is, can I be mishabed myself in something that I do not yet own? So Rav Yosef, so four rayas the Gemara is going to try to bring. So raya number one, Amar Rav Yosef, Tashema. We'll bring a raya from a Mishnah at the end of Maseches Ksubos, that Reuven has a shtar chov against Shimon. Shimon says, I already paid it. I don't know why you're bringing me this shtar. And I'll prove to you that I already paid it, because after the date of this shtar, you sold me a field. So why would you be doing business with me, taking money and giving me a field in return for that money, if I still owed you money from some previous transaction? I must have paid you back. We must have been good. And that's why you were willing to sell me a field. So Admon in the Mishnah over there in Ksuba says Shimon is a gevaldik araya, and therefore he wins. But the Chum say, no, it's not a raya. Zaya pikech. Adrab Reuven was being smart about this. Shemachlos a karka mepnei shu yachol mashkan olav. He sold him the karka so that he'll have karka that he can collect from. Meaning, you owe me $100,000. You're not giving me $100,000. You don't have any properties that I can go collect my $100,000 from. So I'm going to sell you a karka for $100,000. You'll pay me good money for it. So I'll take the payment, and then I'll go be torif that karka. I'll be able to collect that karka. So don't you see, though, that the shibud applies even to the karka that Shimon did not yet own at the time of the loan? How do I know he didn't own it? Because Reuven only sold it to him later, and yet Reuven's going to be able to grab that karka. So you see that there is a shibud on that which he did not yet own. So Amalei Rava, minei kamrit, minei afil miklimet al kaspei. Well, you're trying to bring a raya that he can collect from Shimon himself. If Shimon still has the property, then of course you can collect. Meaning, if I borrow money from you on January 1st, and then I buy property property on February 1st, and I still have that property in my possession when you come to collect it on April 1st, because I did not sell it to anyone on March 1st, right? It's still in my possession. Of course you can collect from me. The whole shaila is, can you collect from Lekuchos? That's what the shaila about Shibud is. Questions, can you collect, if it's about whether you can collect from me, you can collect from me things that I've purchased afterwards. Of course you can. Why wouldn't you? That's afilu meglimat al kaspei. You can collect from me. That's a famous phrase that we have in a ksuba, that a man is meshabed himself to pay his wife's ksuba, even from the jacket, the shirt off his back. Meglimat al kaspei. It's interesting, meaning people make a big deal about that line, that, wow, you're going to give everything up. Tosfos Baba Kama says, you don't actually have to give glimat al kaspei, meaning you don't have to walk around shirtless, to pay you off a ksuba. Tosa says, it must be you have another shirt, or the shirt you're wearing is extremely expensive, and we could sell it, buy you a cheaper shirt, and you'll use the extra money to pay for it. But we're not going to make the guy go around shirtless in order to pay back. We have a concept of misadron lebal chov. We try to make sure that he could live his life, that he shouldn't be unable to live like a normal person. But still, you can collect from stuff that he has. Kikam baylan diikni konam umachar diikni konam vahorishmai. The whole shaila was, if you say diikni and then you don't have it anymore, you've sold it, you've been morish it to somebody else. That's the shaila whether there's a shibud. So it says, okay, let's try another raya. Amar of Chanatoshima, we have a second raya. Our Mishnah, Nafal Abayis Alavi Alaviv, our Mishnah talks about a case where the house caves in on the guy and on his father, Alav El Morishav, or on him and the people that would be Morishim, Vaisalav Ksubasisha Balchov, and he owed money to people. So Yorsheha Av, Omrim Abed Mes Rishon Vacharkach Mes Av, the Yorshim of the father, of the father say that the son died first, and then the father died, and therefore the father was not Morish anything to the son. Yaakov was not Morish anything to Ruvain, and therefore Reuven's Balichov have no claim on it. The Balichov say that the father's one that died first, and therefore Reuven owned it all, and at the time that he owned it, it became a Shubatas, and therefore we can collect before you go and you get your Yerusha. But if you're going to say that which he is later Kona after the time of the loan, and then has offloaded to somebody else by selling it or by being Morish it, that there's no Shibud on such things, so what's the claim of the Balichov over here? Even if the father did die first, de'iknihu, it's something that Reuven only acquired after the time of the loan. I mean, Reuven owed money to his Balchov, he owed money to his Ksubasisha, then Yaakov died, Reuven got something new that he did not own at the time that he created that Ksuba or that Chov. And then Reuven died and was Morish it to somebody else. So if the Ikni doesn't work, what's the claim of the Balichov? Samuel Rav Nachman, Zira Chavrin Tirgama, Mitzvah Yisom Lefro Chavos Avien, that Zira, our friend, explained this Mishnah, that in a Chinami, if the father dies first and then the son dies, the Balichov are able to collect from the Yarshim, but not because the Ikni, not because it says the Ikni and it's things that I'm going to be Kona afterwards. No, this is separate din. There's a mitzvah for Yisom to pay the Chov of their father, and that's why he has a claim on it, because this was a chov of their father, and therefore they have a requirement to pay from properties that their father owned, meaning if there was properties that their father owned, so they have a mitzvah to use those properties to pay up that chov. The Rishonim discuss what is the basis of this mitzvah. So most Rishonim say it's Mishum Kvod Aviyam, that it relates to Kibud Av, and therefore the Adrama and Tosa Rosh say that's why it's only Banim that have this chiyuv, because only they are Chayiv and Kibud Av. However, the Chazon Ish writes that from other poskim it sounds like it's Lav Dafka Banim, it's any Yoresh. And he says it's Mavur in the Shulchan Aruch that way, in Chosh Mishpatim and Kufir Aleph. So he explains, even though they don't have a mitzvah of Kibud Av, but the Chum were Mesakein, that since they are Yoresh Nechasim from him, they should pay the Chov. Meaning, the least you could do, if you're going to get all this guy's Nechasim, is pay up the Chovos that he had. So even though fundamentally it may have initially been about Kibud Av, once the Chum were Mesakein it, they were Mesakein that it's going to be true for everybody, even if it's not a father-son relationship. So Maskav Ravashi challenges, if that's true, that the Shibud is not Chal on that Karka as a result of the Shtar, so Milval pehu, then the whole thing is only a milval peh. Rav Shmuel Dar Mitzvah milval peh. Enuk of alumina yarshim alumina lekuchos. We don't say that there is a mitzvah in the yarshim to pay chovas aviyam when it's a milval peh. Meaning, if the ikni doesn't work, then these nechasim are not considered part of that shtar. So the whole thing only is like a milval peh as far as these nechasim are concerned, and the yarshim should not have to pay that. So you got to come up with a better answer to this raya. So says Gemara, easy answer to the raya. Elahamani Reb Meiri Damarana Demakna Davar Shalavel Yolam. What are you trying to prove? That the ikni works, that it generates a shibud? Maybe this Mishnah is following Shitas Rabbi Meir. And Rabbi Meir holds that a person can be makna, a davar shelo ba'al yolam. So according to Rabbi Meir, they can be makna, a davar shelo ba'al yolam. We started the sugya by saying that there's no shaila according to Rabbi Meir. That according to Rabbi Meir, they can be makna, a davar shelo ba'al yolam. Of course you can generate a shibud on that which you do not yet own. So the whole shaila was only according to the Chachamim. So don't bring me a raya from a Mishnah. That Mishnah might just be following Shitas Reb Meir. So raya number three. Amar Rabbi Yaakov Minar Pekod Mishmei de Ravina Toshma. I'll bring you a raya to be posted the suffix from a Mishnah in Masech Shviyas. Shtari Chov HaMukdamin. If you have a Shtar Chov that the Zman Halva'a that's written in the Shtar is earlier from when the Halva'a actually happened. And the Rashbam gives a funny example. He says the Halva'a actually happened on Tesvav Nisan. But the Shtar says it happened on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Now, it could not have happened on Tesvav Nisan, because Tesvav Nisan is an important day on the Jewish calendar, right? It cannot have, it's the first day of Pesach. But it's funny, the Rashbam just gives that as the example, that it happened on Tesvav Nisan, even though it was the Halva'a. The Shtar says it happened on Echad B'Nisan. So Psulim, that Shtar is possible because any property that you owned from Rosh Chodesh Nisan is going to have a Shibud on it, even though there's no Halva yet. So that's not fair. Why should there be a Shibud on stuff that I went and I sold something on Zion Nisan? The guy who bought it has no idea that I owe any money because I didn't owe any money yet. I borrowed all the money on Tesvav Nisan. Why should he lose out? Why should people be able to collect his properties that he bought? But if it's Shtar Chov, the Zman Alva that's written in the Shtar is later than it actually happened, that the loan actually happened on Tesvav Nisan, and we wrote the Shtar for Rosh Chodesh Iyar, so then that's going to be kosher, because the guy who's lending the money is being mochel on those couple of weeks of Shibut. He said, okay, so you won't be Mishabit to me that amount. This comes up when it comes to signing a Ksuba, that the Shibut generally is created at the time of the chuppah. So a lot of times you have a wedding where the chasen stish is before shkia, the chuppah is after shkia. So what's better to do? Should you predate it? And where the shtar is going to indicate that the shibud happened earlier, or should you post date it? In which case, at the time that you're signing it, you're lying because nothing happened yet. We're lying anyway, right? Meaning the ksuba says that they went to the chuppah and they got married, and so none of that happened yet anyway. So I mean, we're assuming it's going to happen when we're signing the ksuba. So that's a discussion. So some are makbid, they'll sign the ksuba dafka under the chuppah in such cases. Or they'll drive everyone crazy about the timing of the wedding and things like that. So you have a sheet that says everything. Anyway, v'yisal kedaitach di'ikni, but if you hold that di'ikni kanu v'machar, di'ikni kanu v'horish, lo mishtabe, that which you do not yet own and you will own, it does not, there's no shibud on, mukhar na maik sherin. Why should a shtar mukhar be kasher? Di'ikni hu, it should be talu on the shibud karkaos that are purchased after the halva'a, because the halva'a, let's say, was in the example the Rashbam gives, was in Nisan. And between Nisan and Tishrei, it could be that you purchased other karkaos. So since it says in the Shtar Halva'a that it happened in Tishrei, so the Malva is going to collect from the Lekuchos that you bought from Tishrei and on, and even from those karkaos that the Lova got from Nisan until Tishrei. So since he got those after the Halva'a, the Shibud is dependent on the din of Di'ikni. So you see that it works to say di'ikni. Otherwise, there's no reason to passel. Otherwise, we should have passeled a shtar mu'uchar. So says Gemara, Hamani Reb Meir, he damar ad-makna davar shelo ba'al yolam. Again, the simple answer that you can't bring a raya from here because that could just be assuming like shitas Reb Meir that ad-makna davar shelo ba'al yolam, and therefore it's irrelevant. Okay, so now the Gemara says a fourth raya rather. Amram Mishashim Mishmei Durava Toshma will be poshit this suffix. from a fourth place, l'shvach karkaos, that the Brisa says l'shvach karkaos ketzad. The Mishnah says that you cannot be gov v'shevach karkaos from the chasim shvadim, only from the chasim nechorin. So what exactly is the case? Harei shemachar sadu l'chavero. You had a chov and your fields were meshubah to that chov, and then you sold those fields that were meshubah to that chov. V'shbicha, and the lokeach went and improved the field. He plowed it, he planted it. It's now worth a lot more. Uba balchov, and then the balchov came to collect his chov from the moch, from the Lova, and he didn't find any nechasim there. Utrafa, so he went and he took it away from the Lokeach, who had improved the field. So since the Mocher had sold the field ba'achrayus, that if any Balchov comes and takes it away from you, I'll pay you back. So the Mocher has to pay the value of that field back to the Lokeach. And he's meshabed all of his other nechasim to that obligation. And therefore the Lokeach is going to go collect from the Mocher. So kshu goveh, when the Lokeach goes to collect from the Mocher, he collects the initial value of the field from kakos that the mocher was meshabe to him at the time of the mechira, and he has since sold. And he'll collect whatever improvements he made in the field. He cannot collect from nechasim meshubadim. He can only collect those from nechasim rechorim, from things that the mocher still has on hand. So you see that a balchov of the mocher is able to be gover from the lokeach, not only the ikr sada that the mocher was meshabit him at the time of the alva, but also the shevach that the lokeach was meshbiach afterwards. But visal kadaitach the ikni, if you can assume that the ikni, when a person is meshabit nechasim that he's going to buy, kanu machar the ikni kanu bahorish lo meshtabit, that it does not create a shibur on those karkos. Balchova might go v'shvacha. Why can the shevach that he added onto the field? Why can he collect that? That shevach wasn't there at the time of the alva. So the whole shibud to be able to collect that is all dependent on de'ikni. So you see that de'ikni works, meaning how did the lokeach ever lose that shevach in the first place? That never should have been taken away from him. That didn't exist yet. So elamai de'ikni works. So says Gemara, yeah, again, not a raya. Hamani rameir, hidam radon makna, davar shalob al yolam. That works, because maybe that Mishnah also is assuming, like shittas rameir, that a person's makna, davar shalob al yolam. So says Gemara, imtim tzulomar de'ikni kono machar de'ikni kono vahorish, if you can assume that you cannot create a shibud on that which you do not yet own, okay, fine. But if you hold that you can create a shibud on that which you do not yet own, what about the following? What if a person borrows money from one person and he writes that he's being mishabed anything that he will one day be kona? Then he borrows money from another person and also says, I'm being mishabed anything that I one day will be kona. And then I go and I'm kona something. So mahu, what's the din? Who are those nechasim that I have now purchased actually meshubah to? Let's say it's not enough to pay them both back. So the kama meshtabit or the basra meshtabit? Do we assume that it's meshubah to the first one because I wrote to him first? Or do we assume it's meshubah to the last guy because I'm backing out of my shibah to the first guy? So I'm Rav Nachman, hamilsi ibayilan, that this was actually a shaila that we had a suffix about, and we sent the shaila to Eretz Yisrael, v'sholchu mitam, and they responded from Eretz Yisrael that Rishon Kana, that the Nechasim are Meshubah to the first Malda. Rav Huna Amar, Rav Huna says, no, neither one has an advantage over the other one, because at the time that he bought the Nechasim, at the time that he purchased this property, he was already Meshubah to both of these people. So therefore, Yachloku, they'll have to split it. V'chein Tani Rab Baravua, Yachloku. Amar Ravina, Madura Kama Dravashi, Amarlan Rishon Kana, Madura Basra Dravashi, Amarlan Yachloku, Vilksa Yachloku. The Ravashi taught Shas twice. In his first go-around of teaching Shas, he taught us Rishon Kana in this Shaila. In his second go-around of teaching Shas, he taught us Yachloku. And therefore we go with the second go-around. The Rashbam writes that he taught for 60 years. He quotes from Rav Haigon. Rav Ashi was the Rosh Gola for 60 years, and he taught his Talmidim the entire Talmud over the course of 30 years, and that was Madura Kama, and then he taught his Talmidim again over the course of the next 30 years, and that was the Madura Basra. And you see the integrity of not just using his notes from the previous time, but learning through the sugyas again, and trying to figure out this, so he may change his mind about certain things. Also, they went nice and slow, right? They didn't do it all in 7.5 years. They did it in 30 years to get through to get through all of Shas. So okay, Vilchsa Yachloku. So Meisvei says Gemara will ask a kasha on this, that it says in the Brayse L'shvach Karkos Ketzad. What does the Mishnah mean when it says that you cannot go v'shach shvach Karkos from the Chasam Shvadim, only from the Chasam Nechorin? Ham Reisha Machra. So the Chaver V'Shbicha, you sold the field to somebody, and the Lokeach improved the field. Uba Balchov, and then the Balchov of the Mocher came Utrafa, and he took it away. Kashu Gova, when that Lokeach wants to go back to the Mocher to collect that which was taken away from him, Gova Es HaKeren Min Chasam Shvadim, he collects the Keren from the Chasam Shvadim Ves HaShevach, but whatever improvements he made to the field Min Chasam Nechorin, that he cannot collect from the Chasam Shvadim, only from the Chasam Nechorin. But if the din is that if someone borrows money from two people and he writes to Ikni and then he purchases Nechasim, that it's Meshubah to both of those people and they split it, over here also the Balchov should not be able to take all of the Shevach, he should only be able to take some of the Shevach, because since the Mocher was Neschayiv in the Achrayos to the Lokeach, so the Malve and the Lokeach both have a claim on the Love, so let them split it. So says Gemara, yeah, my Govanami Diktani Chati Shevach. Maybe that's what it means. Maybe it means they only go over the Chati Shevach and not the entire Shevach. Okay, but tomorrow we'll pick up with the Mishnah on Kufman Chasim Ralph. Everyone have a great day and a wonderful Shabbos.